Blog Talk Radio.
To the A New Day Show. I am so very excited that you took the time this morning to spend with us. We have two amazing segments for you this morning. Our first segment will be with Pepper Miller, and she is already on air holding on, and I'll get her on in a few minutes. In the meantime, I don't want you to miss any of this amazing information that she'll be sharing. So grab your pens and paper, and while you're at it, grab your juice and water as well. And we will take your questions during the conversation. So if you have a question and you're in the chat room, just type the question and I'll get it to Pepper. And you also know you can call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And if you are joining us for the first time, I am the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I am dedicated to educate, inspire, and empower my listeners. And I do that by bringing on experts for each segment who can pass on some valid information to you that can help you in those three areas. Before I bring my guests on, I want to just give you the lineup of the guests that are coming on in the next couple of weeks. On the 25th, we have Muriel Moten, and Muriel will be speaking on understanding your values. And on the 28th, which is a special segment for my nephew, the mighty Jing Su out of Jamaica, West Indies, who just released his first single reggae record. So I'm very excited about that. And on the 2nd, we're having Dr. Ray Blanchard. And for those of you who saw the answer, the DVD, Dr. Ray and I will be in conversation. And after that, we'll be having Jeff Mills. Jeff Mills is a former youth pastor, and he is now just reeling in some real good money on internet marketing. And he's coming on to talk to us about the advantages of outsourcing. And of course, on December the 11th, it's my happy birthday, and I decide I'm going to have a virtual birthday party with all of you, my listeners. So that's the lineup. Share it with your friends and make sure to join the New Day, because you know without you, we have no show. So I love each and every one of you. And without any further delay, I want to bring our distinguished guests on. Mrs. Pepper Miller. Pepper, good morning.
Good morning, Daphne, and good morning to all of your listeners or viewers.
Yeah, listeners, Doctor. We are on the radio. I'll have to figure a way out to get you on the TV show. Then we really have some viewers. Couple months ago, I was able to do a TV show on the telephone with a guest out of Detroit, and it was amazing the things that technology can do. I know you're a very busy person impacting lives all over the world, so I feel very privileged, Pepper, that you take this time this morning to spend with us and to impart some amazing knowledge and information to my listeners. So I do appreciate you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Yes. Why don't we talk? Because I first met you at the Power Networking Conference, and I know the passion that you hold deep within you for the African-American people, how we do business, how we capitalize on our part of the market share, because not all of us is doing what we need to do. And today you're here to educate us, you know how to pick and choose when to say yes, when to say no, and to what we are saying yes to and to what we are saying no to. So that is some good stuff. And we had your book up on the blog for as many weeks as you had confirmed. So I hope people take the chance to pick that up. It's called What's Black About It, and by Herb Kemp, right, and Pepper Miller. So make sure you go back to the blog and put that book in your library, because you need to have that. So, Pepper, would you please introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell them as much as you want them to know about you.
Well, I live in Chicago. I'm the president of the Hunter Miller Group. We are a market research and strategic planning company. We use different types of research methodologies to help talk to the African American and urban community for major corporations, to help them understand who we are and what we do, so they can positively and effectively, and that's emphasis on positively, market their products and services to the Black American and African and urban, community. Well, an African American. We see Black American and African American sometimes a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
Black American would include the African and the Caribbean cultures, which many do not necessarily see themselves in the same way as African Americans. African Americans, as you know, many of us have this filter, the psychological baggage of slavery, post-slavery, and discrimination. That is a marketing insight. It is the reason why many of us do what we do. It's the reason why we're overly sensitive about being stereotyped. It's the reason why we have a higher propensity for wanting more respect. It's the reason why we see more and see differently when it comes to marketing communications. Anyone, as you know, Daphne, can be discriminated against because you're tall, you're short, you're slightly plump, or you may be thin. But for African Americans, we have a propensity to look for and expect to be discriminated against. We don't see that as much from our Caribbean brothers and sisters, or our African brothers and sisters. Yes, they can be discriminated too because of their beautiful brown skins, but they come in and they live in this country with a different force of moving forward a little faster. They earn more money. They are better educated. And it seems that they don't have that filter overshadowing of them.
That's right.
So it's a little different. And many of them, according to our research, our Black African brothers and sisters in Caribbean don't always identify with how many African Americans live. And it doesn't mean that we're not brothers and sisters, that we don't embrace each other. Differences can lead to opportunities. So they're just different. So many of of them opt out and don't want to be called African American. They want to be called Black American. So it's very interesting. But again, that's an insight that marketers need to understand. Not all of us are the same. We are very, very segmented. We're very different. Probably one of the most segmented segments in the marketplace.
You know, you said a whole lot right there, because I was born and raised in Jamaica, and as I often say to people when I'm in interviews or anything, I had no idea I was Black until I came to America. Because in Jamaica, I was a human being, a person, and I came here, and there are all these different labels that people expect me to fit into, and many boxes that they put me in. And I just enjoy popping the cover off the box off, because I'm not fitting into that. But just to piggyback on something that you so eloquently stated, is about the people who come here from other countries. And the thing is that we come and we don't have a sense of entitlement.
Yes.
We come and we look for opportunities that we can harness to make a better life for us. I remember once I was in a training with the Commission on Children in in Connecticut. And one of the ladies, we were having a diversity debate. And it was just supposed to be a mock debate, but she took it so personal, and she went into all the things that we Jamaicans, she says, come here and we take away from African Americans. And I said to her, hold on a minute. We are not taking. I said, we come here and we'll do anything that is legal to earn a bread while we pursue further education and so on and so forth. But there is so much prejudice and hate on the Blacks from other countries and the Blacks here. And we need to just sit back and take a look. Who are we enhancing when we do that? What kind of a message are we sending to the younger generation about us as people?
Well, I think you mentioned the word entitlement, and I do think there is positive entitlement and negative entitlement. And I think that many of the Caribbeans and Africans do come to this country with entitlement, but it's positive entitlement in that many of them are coming with this ready to move forward attitude, that I am prepared and I am entitled to the same opportunities as anybody else. And I think that's a good thing. And interestingly, many of our young Black people, not all, but many of our young Black people have an attitude of positive entitlement. I think it's across the board. That means they are, they have done what they're supposed to do, they've gone to school, they've learned, they are prepared. So they come to the table ready to receive all of the benefits based on their contributions. And that's, I think that's very interesting. That is something that's different from the boomers in terms of mindset. A lot of the boomers, like myself, I'm a boomer, we were raised to go to a job and not make waves and stay there, work hard, and do what you're supposed to do and retire. But a lot of the younger people don't like talking about oppression. We are divided by pre- and post-civil rights mindsets. Those people like me, the boomers that were born during and before civil rights, and those that were born after. And the younger people that were born after don't necessarily like talking about oppression. They're more comfortable with race. They didn't live through civil rights. That's what a lot of the Africans and Caribbeans did not live through, that as well in this country. So as a result of that, many come prepared, many younger people who are going to college and trying to do the right thing, they come prepared with an attitude of entitlement. And I call it positive entitlement.
One of
the things that I love about young black people with positive entitlement is that they have really big ideas, really big ideas. I want to, they'll say things like, if I'm in real estate, I'm a developer, I'm going to buy the whole block and redo the whole block. Yes, we can. If I'm a restaurant owner, there's a guy here in Chicago named Quentin Love, who owns a lot of restaurants in Chicago. He wants to own 200 restaurants. You know, yes, we can. I love
that. That's right.
So, you know, we're going to have these differences in mindsets and Caribbeans and blacks and so forth. But I think to look at the bigger picture in terms of how do we move forward and how do we harness our spending power is in our marketing. Value, our value that we bring to the marketplace is very, very important. And so that's what we're talking about today, too, and around those parameters of what we're talking about today, that's one of the things we need to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Black spending power in 2008 was $968 billion. Billion dollars. That's close to $1 trillion. That's larger than the surplus, that Barack Obama is giving to the, I'm having a senior moment here. The stimulus. It's larger than the stimulus.
Stimulus package.
It's larger than the stimulus package. It is larger than the gross national product for Mexico and Brazil and the northern countries in Africa. It's a lot of money. It's after-tax disposable income. Now, a lot of that may have changed, obviously, given the economic downturn, but that speaks to the power that we have and the contributions that we bring to the marketplace. But we always, Daphne, we don't use our voice to speak up. Oftentimes marketers take us for granted too often because we don't speak up. So one of the roles that I do in our company is that we want to make sure that African Americans have value as a people, that our value is still represented, and that African Americans in the marketplace have value. It's changing a lot because of our young people. That one of the reasons they like to see a mix of races in advertising, which is not necessarily multicultural advertising. Young black people talk a lot in research about inclusion and coming together. So marketers feel that they don't, that's not wrong, but marketers feel that they don't need to do anything special. So culture is left out of the marketing mix when it comes to African Americans. And I don't want us to lose our culture in the marketing mix because it's very important. We continue to lead a lot of the trends and the culture in the United States. And I don't feel that we need to melt white, if you will.
Exactly.
We don't need to melt white. Why can't we celebrate our culture and our culture be valued instead of being used to benefit the mainstream without giving us credit? But the only way that's going to happen is if we speak up and speak out. If we see an ad that is not relevant, if an ad that stereotypes, an ad that does not show enough black men as positive role models, advertising that doesn't show enough, you know, black people in positive situations, advertising and marketing that does not show black people in leadership situations, events that don't come to the community and celebrate with us our culture. These are things that are very, very important, that they understand us and that they get us and that they portray us in a relevant cultural way. That's very, very important.
Right.
So that's what we talk about.
Wonderful. Because, you know, action is what is needed on our part. Because with $968 billion being spent among us, this figure is not saying you don't have a voice.
Absolutely.
We need our voice need to be heard. And I just like what you said about we don't have to melt white. No, because each of us in this community, we are so unique. Each race and each culture
yes.
is richly unique.
Yes.
So you don't have to become anybody else.
Correct.
You can highlight and enhance who you are and what you represent in a positive light. You know, I just admire the young people nowadays. They are fearless, Pepper,
yes,
and they step
are.
Out.
Yes.
They step out and they follow what their dream and visions are.
Yes.
I know young people who have thriving entrepreneurial business, and they are paying their way through college now. And I say hooray to them because their parents don't have to be struggling with large student loans after they are finished, you know, and we just need to encourage them.
Yes, we do. And one of the ways to do that, I think, Black consumer marketing, we haven't done a good job of coming together and reaching back and bringing the younger people along, which is in educating them on the importance of Black consumer marketing. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Black agencies. Many of the mainstream agencies that didn't want to touch Black consumer marketing as if we were lepers or something are now mm-hmm. going after the business with a vengeance. They are repositioning themselves as multicultural agencies, which maybe the Black agencies should have done too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going after the business. And younger black people don't want, being Black and working at a Black agency in the 80s, in my day, was very prestigious. But
mm-hmm.
today, a lot of young people see it as pigeonholing and limiting themselves and not being part of the mainstream. Again, that's not wrong. But we're also seeing, Daphne, the swing of the pendulum. I had the opportunity. We do a lot of stuff, studies for major companies, American
yeah.
Airlines, Ford,
mm-hmm.
PepsiCo, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Hallmark, Allstate, State Farm. Those are the clients that we work with. And we
right.
had the opportunity last year to go to the Essence Music Festival and just do some interviews with Black women there. And
mm-hmm.
it was just absolutely phenomenal. We brought these women into a hotel, into a focus group setting, and
mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. We had a lot of young women, all up to the age of 54. So we had all ages. But what was very clear about, and they were women from different walks of life, different areas of the country, is the same old glass ceiling that we are experiencing is we heard from these women was racial discrimination in corporate America. And I challenged these women to... I was like, are you sure it's a bad, maybe it could be sexism, or
mm-hmm.
don't you feel it, you know, when you get to a certain point and you feel that you can't move forward, that it could be anything else. Your boss could be a jerk. It could be gender bias. It could be anything. But many of them agreed that they really believed that it was racial discrimination. And so what we saw happening, too, is these women talking about starting their own businesses and coming back and wanting to contribute to the Black community. So one of the insights that we've learned then about our younger generation is that they're learning about their Blackness a lot later.
Yes.
I learned when I was 7. I lived in Chicago. We moved to the South. And I heard the governor of Georgia, when I was about 7 years old, use the N-word to refer to Black people. That's when I realized I was Black. For many of our younger people, particularly those that have worked in corporate America over a span of 8 to 10 years, and they have this attitude of positive entitlement. I have my MBA. I went to an Ivy League school. I did well. I was on the honor roll in high school. I've done well. I've interviewed well. I do what I'm supposed to do, so I'm entitled to that position. When they see themselves being bypassed, then they realize, man, there is something to racial discrimination, and but they want to then come back to the black community. So we're seeing that pendulum kind of swinging back the other way for some of our younger people. I'm sorry they had to learn about racial discrimination, that it is still there. We are not living in the age of there is no post-racial America because we have a man, a black man, who is president of the United States. We still have to deal with that, and we have to deal with the race issue in marketing and advertising, too. Advertising is not a diverse industry. In 2009 America, it is still not diverse, and the market research industry is not diverse either. So the one way to help that is to encourage young people to get their degrees and to go in to these industries and bring along their blackness and their point of view and deposit it there in these industries, and don't be afraid to be black and bring your culture with you, because that's how we learn about different cultures, is through the media, believe it or not. And so if we don't have anyone, if we don't have Daphne's show that talks about black issues, if we don't have Pepper Miller writing the black book, or Aaron Patton, who wrote a book on hip-hop culture and why it's important, or David Morse, who wrote a multicultural marketing book. David Morse happens to be a white man, but he definitely talks about the importance of black consumer marketing, black culture. But we need these voices in the advertising and market research industry, and we need shows like yours, and we still need black media. It is still very, very important. Black still matters. Black still
matters. It does matter. And because, you know, I have been in situations, Pepper, where there are strong, prominent black people in that setting. Mm-hmm. And I'll hear other people from other culture will reference it. Oh no, I don't see that person as black. That person is just, and they name the person's name. So it's amazing the mindset that people have around blackness and your culture and your ethnicity.
Right.
And, you know, our voices need to be loud and clear. We don't need to put it under a shelter or under a bushel.
I want to make a point about that person who says they don't see black. And I know what they mean. They're trying to say they're not a racist or they don't have any biases, and I think that's probably a good place within them. But I sometimes I don't buy that, I don't see black. How could you not see me as a black person? How could you not? How could you not see the dark skin and these full lips? How could you not see that? And it's okay. I think the thing is we need to celebrate that and stop being ashamed of saying, man, I see you. You black woman, and I see you Asian woman, and I see you Indian woman, and I see you Indian man, and I see you black man, and I think it's wonderful. That's a better response instead of trying to, again, whitewash and say, well, that's a form of whitewashing. I don't see you as a black person. See me as a black
person.
But don't use that to limit me. I think that's what we don't want. We don't want to be limited. We want to come to the table equally. So I understand what people are trying to say, but I think that's a better, more realistic response. Because if I walk in a room with all white people, which happens a lot. You're going to tell me you don't see me as a black person?
Oh, please.
I think we need to help them celebrate. We need to keep celebrating you. You're sure you see me as black, and you love it. I am welcomed, and you see me as an equal. That's the better response. That's the better response.
Because, you know, we have to take time to stand up, not to be offensive, but to help to educate and get people to react to us the way we deserve to be reacted to. You know, I want to remind the listeners that please call in, because I'm sure you have questions for Pepper. And the number to call is 646-915-8166. Pepper, believe it or not, we are 30 minutes in, so you were thinking an hour is long. We're going to still have a lot to talk about. So, with the powerful voice, Pepper, of $968 billion, how do we begin to let our voices be heard?
Well, I think one of the things is, again, to for the younger people who are interested in marketing and advertising, to continue to pursue those degrees in those areas and seek out getting jobs in those companies. For those of us that are consumers, I think we have found that black people do have access to the Internet. We are not ones to, you know, in general, to write a lot of letters to company. I'm not saying that no black people write letters, but when compared across the board to other segments, we are writing letters and using our voice in that way, but not as much as we should. But given that many African Americans are now on the net, they have access, and African Americans, we find in many studies across the board, have a higher propensity to look for information that's going to advance their lives. We do that more than any other segment, many, many research studies tell us. And so one of the things to do is, when you are happy or unhappy about a product or service, you can go to their website and in the customer service area and leave a comment. And one of the first things that I usually do is tell them that I'm African American. Don't be ashamed to do that. I recently saw a great commercial for Tide. I talk about it a lot, is the Tide with Downy commercial where the baby is sleeping on the father's chest. But I saw another commercial where the father was drying his son off, black father was drying his son off after taking a bath. Mm-hmm. And those commercials like that that show a black man as a caring caretaker do so much for our community, for our women, for our black men, because all of our black men do not fit the stereotype of thug life that we see in the media. That does exist, but there are a lot of really good black men who are stepping up to the plate that are trying to do the right thing. So when Tide, along with their ad agency, Burrell, created that wonderful commercial, I went on the website and just let them know that I appreciate it. I'm an African-American woman, want to see more of this. This does more for our community. I also went to the website of a grocery store here in Chicago, a popular grocery store. One of the things that bugs me about the grocery stores and our pharmacy stores is that they have a higher propensity of products for mainstream consumers in predominantly black neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. A sister cannot get a chocolate lip pencil in her black community to save her life. But there's honey beige, and there's beige, and there's truly beige, and there's beige beige, and there's a propensity of all of these cosmetics and hair care products that we do not use. That makes no sense. It's not even good business sense. That is absolutely crazy. That is crazy. So, and I'm a one-stop shopper. In my neighborhood, they have the grocery store with the drugstore and the grocery store combined. But I can't buy health and beauty products that are relevant for me because they send a small shipment and then they're gone. But what's left is all of these mainstream products. And this is 2009 America, and we can't. So I wrote in, I went on the email and I wrote in, and I kept writing and writing and writing until I got a call from corporate. And what they did is they expanded the ethnic section 2 feet, but they still haven't changed. I think one letter to a company, I believe, and I was trying to find that stat, but I think I heard a speaker say, and I don't know how true it is, but one letter can be equal to 750 voices.
That's right. So keep writing your letters.
Yeah, so you could go to the website and just click in and write in the comment box and you're done. And that way you don't have to think about what do I say or getting a stamp or,
mm-hmm.
or anything like
that.
I
like
that,
the post
office. Absolutely.
Office.
So we need our voices heard very much in the marketing mm-hmm. arena.
One of the things I want to ask you about, Pepper, I know that quite a few of the rising star, whether they're athletes or they're artists or whatever field they stand in, a lot of times I've heard it from different panels that a lot of times they are not too comfortable having black publicists or agents represent them. What is your experience around that? Why do you feel, based on your personal experience with research and everything, why are they so reluctant in having their own people represent them?
I think a lot of the athletes do want our own people. I think there's a perception about access because there are some really good PR and public relation people. But in terms of, I think they're wondering and judging, can these people provide the access that I need to very other high profile people and situations.
Okay,
and I think they're, you know, and I don't know that particular industry, but I think sometimes some access to some very higher profile situations are limited to some of our black PR and public relations people,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
if that's not true, there is a perception
right.
that access is not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's their perception about access. Because
mm-hmm.
I do think, you know what, when you come to think of it, there are a lot of black companies that have access to higher profile people, and not just higher
mm-hmm.
profile people that are born out of hip-hop arena,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that you maybe have an access to a Donald Trump or a Jay
mm-hmm.
Leno or a
mm-hmm.
David Letterman or a, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that might be one of the perceptions. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if that's true. I don't know
right.
if that's real. But I think that's one of the problems because definitely black PR companies and agents do stellar jobs. I think
mm-hmm.
a lot of them
mm-hmm.
do have access. I don't know of any by name that that are huge and have access. I have seen pictures of some senior VPs at some of these mainstream companies that are agents. I've seen them in pictures of women, for example, in Essence.
Mm-hmm.
Magazine or even an old magazine who are people
mm-hmm.
of color. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how they come together, and I don't know if there's an industry, because we don't necessarily want to be the black agents industry because, again,
right,
we feel
right.
that that's limiting. But I don't know how they get that perception changed about them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how they do that.
I think they need to be more visible themselves too. And as you mentioned
yes.
about is the access that they have to certain people. So again, what I picked out of that was the relationship, the circles, because I think at a few of the panels, I forget where I was, at different panels, and I was listening to them. One of the mindset they have is that other races or ethnicity will market them for more. And I said, that's silly. Why would you think that? So, you know, I remember when I used to be in Mary Kay, one of the things that Mary Kay Ash used to say was that you want the news to go around, you tell it to a woman. And if you find a good lipstick, and when you do find that chocolate color lip pencil that you need,
right.
you're going to call a sister and tell her where it is. Go stock up, because maybe next week you go, it's gone. And I think it's the same thing here what is the news that is going around about you? Because they go in and they are calling somebody to find out, you know, who you think we should use. So I think the message that is out there about them or even about us, whoever, we are all in business. What is the message that is being said about us out there?
Well, too, sometimes we hurt ourselves, too, because of that filter, slavery, post-slavery, and discrimination. Not all of us, but many black people have perceptions about our value. Not only do non-black see us as not having value, but we as a people see us as not having value. We are harder on ourselves than any non-black person could be because of that stigma of our the slavery stigma. Many of us say that we're over it, but we still carry around the stigma about each other. Are we qualified enough? Do you know? We don't often see our own value.
Yeah.
So we question our professionalism. And I remember even once I was at dinner. I was at this friend of mine owned this Mediterranean restaurant. He's from the Middle East, a good friend of my husband and I. And we were there having dinner with some friends of ours, some black friends, and the owner came over to the table and sat down with us for a bit. And it was before the Concorde went out of business. Mm-hmm. And I was we were talking about the Concorde, and I was saying how I always wanted to take a trip on the Concorde. So I looked at the Middle East guy, and I asked him, he's a very worldly man. I asked him, has he ever been on the Concorde? And he said, no. Now, there was another black guy at the table that said, I have. I didn't even think, to ask him. I didn't say, has anyone been on the Concorde?
Yes.
I automatically. So it's a little subconscious stuff. And then I asked him, how did you happen to ride the Concorde? And he said, because I can. And he was right, because he was a very senior level executive. He was doing business internationally, and I never even thought to pose the question to the table. So me, Miss Black Marketing Woman, Miss Race Woman, who wrote the book about black, who writes about black people all the time. Look at what I did. I mean, so if I can do it,
so can anybody.
Absolutely. And I never forgot that. I was so embarrassed.
Every awaking morning, Pepper, is a day to learn lessons.
Yes,
we all learn. You know, when anyone who thinks that they are no longer learning, you are no longer breathing. And that was a lesson learned. And I know you have not made that error again.
Yes.
That was meant for that to happen for you to really be more aware and alert. I didn't see it as a bad thing, but it put you in a
well, but it does say something about how we value each other, the black race.
Right.
It says something about our value. There was another example. Tim Weiss he's the white race man. He's always talking to white people about being racist. And he wrote a book about it, and he talks about it, and he blogs about it. And I loved his honesty, too, because recently he wrote a piece. He's this white guy, and he said he boarded the plane, looked in the cockpit, and noticed that they had two black pilots. And he said for a minute he thought, can these guys fly this plane? And he had to slap himself and said, of course they can. And and it doesn't mean that he's a racist. Racial bias, everybody has some kind of racial biases, but it does not necessarily mean that you are a racist. Eugene Robinson of the Washington Post, Pulitzer Prize winner, I love him, black man, said that. And that was absolutely huge, because sometimes we feel if someone has a racial bias that they are a racist. And Tim Wise is not, I assure you, he's not a racist. He fights so much for racial equality in the work that he does, particularly those of African Americans. And he's hard on white men. A white man is hard on white men about carrying many of them who have racial attitudes towards Black America.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge insight, and I appreciate him for being honest.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm having such a good time, Heather. We have 15 minutes remaining, but before I ask you to summarize your thoughts and probably give us a checklist to how to keep our visibility clear, before you do that, would you like to talk a little bit about your book, please, for the listeners?
Okay. I wrote What's Black About It, Herb Kemp and I. Herb Kemp used to be, at one time, the president years ago of Uniworld Advertising, which is a huge multicultural ad agency. And Herb is a brilliant guy, but there was no cultural marketing book on the market for Black people, for marketers. We wrote this book for marketers. It's a very easy read. It's a very, very easy read. It's only 120 pages, but it talks about who we are as a people and why we do what we do. And What's Black About It, that title originated in the Black agencies from Tom Burrell, who was one of the pioneers of Black ad agencies. He would use that question to challenge his teams to make sure that they had the right cultural buttons to connect their messages with the Black community. So what's mm-hmm. Black about that ad? What's Black about that media plan? Mm-hmm. What's Black about that event that you are creating? And so that's the question that we used for our book, and that was launched in 2005. I am working on a new book, Black Matters in Marketing. Black consumer marketing, Daphne, has changed so much. There have been so many studies since we've done our book about mm-hmm. Black America. One of the largest studies is the Black America Study, which was commissioned by Radio 1, Kathy Hughes, and mm-hmm. her company. She owns a lot of radio stations and TV 1. Her new company is a new umbrella company is, let me not say because I'm forgetting it. I'm having it.
Okay.
But she owns I cannot believe I am like missing this the name of her company. But her company owns BlackPlanet.com. They own.
Oh yeah, I know BlackPlanet.
They own Radio 1, the radio stations, and TV 1. It's One Solution. That's the name of the company. One Solution.
Out of Chicago?
They are in Maryland, Silver Spring, Maryland, I believe, in the D.C. area. Kathy Hughes is amazing. They commissioned the largest study ever done on Black America, and it's you can look at this study, blackamericastudy.com, on the web, and it's a segmentation study to prove how we are all not the same. We are very similar to one another, but we've never been more similar and different as we are today. We are very similar and also different from one another. And they have an exercise where you can go in and determine which segment you belong to. There are 11 segments that were identified from the Black America Study. It's a wonderful study, and I had the privilege and opportunity to work with them on the study as well. And there's a lot of information about each one of those segments at the blackamericastudy.com. It's absolutely wonderful. I encourage you and your listeners to go and participate in that exercise to see what segment that you may fall in. So anyway, that study and a number of other studies have happened. So we are working on another book which will be launched next year, Black Matters in Marketing. And it talks about these truths and methods that companies need for the survival of their brand. Today more than ever, companies really do need Black Americans and Black consumers for their brand survival. They don't, many of them don't realize it, but by 2050, half of the country will be brown. Half of it will be brown.
Whether light brown or dark brown.
Caribbeans, Africans,
right.
Even brown. So it's so important to understand what's going on with each one of these segments. And many of the marketers have their heads stuck in the sand. And it's important to understand black people because we continue to lead with trends. What happens is, and when those trends come from our black men, and black men are more likely than any other men to look to each other to determine what is hip and what is cool and what is relevant to them. Where other cultures look around, they look to us or they look to, we don't do that. We look to each other to determine what is cool. We don't look to the Asians to determine what's cool. We don't look to the Japanese or the Indians to determine. And it doesn't mean that we don't like Indian food or Asian food or anything. But in terms of developing big trends that the world follows, that comes from black culture. Baggy pants, hats on backwards, slang, swagger, language, music, all of that, when you look at it, fashion, style, black culture. So it's that's why black culture is still very, very important. And we should not be ashamed of it. We should embrace it. We don't have to embrace black culture doesn't mean that we are limiting ourselves. We are celebrating ourselves. Be black. Be black.
Be proud. Be black and proud. Pepper, we have 9 minutes remaining.
Yes.
And you mentioned the some of your clients, and well, we never know who is listening to the A New Day show. So if you would like to give out your contact information, how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. They can visit us on the web at huntermillergroup.com. That's all one word, huntermillergroup.com. They could also read my blogs on the Advertising Age, which is our trade publication. It's a Crane publication, at adage.com/bigtent. I write for the Big Tent, which is a multicultural blog, so I can find some of that there.
And would you repeat that again?
AdAge, that's A-D-A-G-E, adage.com / Big Tent, and also you can follow me on Twitter, Insight Guru. That's NSIGHTG as in George, URU. Insight Guru on Twitter, and you can also find me on Facebook Pepper Miller on Facebook. So you can. If you go to our site, there's a place on our website for you to follow us on Twitter, check out the blog on AdAge, or sign up as a friend on Facebook.
Okay.
Be happy
to have
you.
You have 7 minutes remaining. Can you imagine?
Went by
7 minutes.
Fast.
And I hope when that book is released, you'll come back and spend some time with us.
Yes, I definitely would. I'll send you one. I'd like to do that. I like to do that very much. I'm trying to think what would be important to talk about in the last 7 minutes.
Just to summarize or highlight what you spoke about, so people can have food for thought to think about. How do I fit into this $968 billion? How can I let my voice be heard? That kind of a thing.
Well, I again just to say that black does matter in marketing. As you mentioned, we have huge spending power. We are similar, and we are similar to each other. We are also different from each other, and it's important to celebrate the similarities and the differences. Many marketers went today. And looking at how America is becoming brown, many of them are focused on what do we have in common, what's common between us. And while that's not wrong, it is the differences that can lead to the opportunities to understand why black women are so upset with Chris Rock and his Good Hair movie, because they feel like he's told some of our secrets. And the reason why is that we have this propensity to feel, to be stereotype. So we don't want America to stereotype us. So to understand what's different about Black America and to celebrate those differences, I think is important. To use your voice in marketing and advertising by going on companies' websites and telling them that you are a proud Black person and letting them know what they are doing well and what they are not doing well in terms of how they develop and communicate their messages to us. Be a good Black citizen, a Black consumer, and do that. Let's see, what else did I
embracing the young people, the young people who are stepping out.
I love that, celebrating the young people. I think, you know, one of the things that I used to try to shove when I look back in retrospect, not the Blackness down my clients' throats, because I so badly did not want us to lose our culture in their eyes. But I have learned by embracing the younger people and listening to them, I've learned so much about how to craft my message in a better way. And so I think instead of pointing the fingers at young people in business, I think we need to embrace them and embrace each other. And
yes,
many young people have said to me that they want the older generation to reach across the aisle to them and bring them along, that we haven't done that. And I think that's something we haven't done well in the advertising business. We don't have any scholarships. We don't have enough interns. And so that's something that we at the Hunter Miller Group are working on, is reaching out to young people. We have a scholarship, the Ruth C. Hunter Market Research Scholarships, to expose Black people, in particular students, college students who are interested in market research, make them aware of it and help them, direct them to market research as a career opportunity. So
Wonderful.
We're working on that and trying to work with some of the universities to have a market research program where they can have a college degree. So
Good.
I think it's about trying to give back to the, continue to give back to the Black community. Well, anywhere in general, if you give back, it's a universal law, but if you can give back to the Black community and help continue to help pull us along, it's important.
Yeah, so I am very proud of the Hunter Miller Group, that you don't only talk the talk, but you are walking a committed walk.
Thank you.
In
and
the
I'm proud
area.
Of you.
Yeah, and you're creating a legacy, because when Pepper Miller is no longer there with her voice to be heard, what legacies
Absolutely.
Has she created?
Absolutely. We're going to have something about Black people and our power in the marketplace. I am an advocate for a positive cultural marketing to African Americans, because companies still want to know, even though this multicultural is the new rage and multi-ethnic is the new rage, I still think it's important to talk about Black people, Black biracials, Black immigrants, Black gays. It's important that the Black segments, Black men, Black women, Black tweens, that we all have a voice in Black consumer marketing. Very, very important. And if no one else is going to do it, I will. I will take up that that cross, and I will run with it.
Thank you, Pepper.
Thank you so much. Daphne.
I pray you had as good a time as I have.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to speaking with you real soon. Just keep
very
doing
good.
The wonderful job that you're doing.
Thank you, Daphne. Blessings
Thank
you and
blessings.
Your listeners and your show, and you continue the good work as well.
Thank you, Pepper.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, all the way from Australia. Good morning, Jan.
Hello, Daphne. How are you?
I am wonderful. What time is it in Australia?
It's not in Australia. I'm in Scotland.
I think I have to go back and study my geography. Oh, Scotland.
Right,
Scotland, because
it's,
remember a couple of weeks ago I told my friend I thought you were from London. And
right, that's right.
I went over for dinner and they were dying laughing. They said you have to laugh so hard, and then she got your email. It was too hard.
Yes, yes.
Scotland, Daphne.
That's right. So it's actually 4 o'clock in the afternoon here.
4 p.m. and it is now 10:59 a.m. here. Well, thank
yes.
you so much. I know you are listening to Pepper, and she's just a
wonderful lady. Yes, yes.
She's an amazing woman. I tell you, John, I just roll with the best.
Yes, don't you just?
My darling, including you. I have to get the best on for my listeners. And
that's right.
I am just so excited and to hear about your vision and your purpose. And I know you have been on some other shows, so I'm not sure how many of the listeners had heard you before. We are still so happy that you took the time to be with us this morning. And I want to encourage them to call in. The number is 646-915-8166. So now we are entering into conversation with Jan Mullock. Am I pronouncing it right, Jan?
Jan Mullock, yes, that's wonderful.
Okay, wonderful. Would you please introduce yourself? Tell them as much as you want them to know about you.
Okay, Daphne. Well, I think we've established now that I live in Scotland, and I've been living here. I've been living here now for the last 43 years.
Wow.
And it was about a year and a half ago I decided, I'd been working in IT for about 10 years, and I thought, you know, there's far more to life than, you know, doing what my boss wants me to do, and I'm quite sure that I can be doing things for other people. And I just got this sort of revelation that I should really go out there and write and speak and just let other people know how to become positive thinkers and achievers, because everybody's got these capabilities. And I get annoyed sometimes that a lot of people will sit back and they won't actually apply themselves, and they know that they've got the resources to be very, very successful in their lives.
But they are fearful. But before we go there, because I need to let the listeners know that, you know, I normally have a pre-conversation with all my guests before we get on the show. And then Jan and I, our pre-conversation lasted, what, an hour and a half or something, right?
We could have made a program with that.
Man, we should have had that earlier. That was some good stuff. But I want to go back a bit. When you were working in the IT industry, because everything from then is now tied into what you were doing now. That's right. You had an amazing journey to where you are now. No aspect.
Well, this is it. I mean, I think because I had been in, you know, I'd been doing a normal female sort of job. I'd been in personnel. You know, and you know how, you know, you're stereotyped. You're only supposed to do certain things, you know.
That's right.
And it was back in about 1997, and I became very, very interested in computers, and I was very interested in building computers.
Mm.
And that's not a thing a woman should do.
Oh,
they're supposed to, you know, be baking and doing dressmaking,
that's
you
right,
know.
The cookies.
That's right. And but it just fascinated me because I enjoy doing things with my hands. I do dressmaking, but it was just a new exciting thing for me because it was a new challenge. And, you know, I thought, you know, I love doing this, and that is what I want to make my career. That should be, why should I just do this as a hobby? I think I should do this as a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there and I started studying, and I, do you know, at that point, I never even thought that I was a woman and that it's going to be difficult. I never thought that, because the desire was so strong for me to change my career into this that that never even came into my mind that this was going to be an obstacle or anything, because all I just could see was the goal at the end saying, I'm going to get a job in IT.
That's right.
So I did. I went and I joined a company in our town, which is essentially the biggest company in the town, and I knew I was going to get into IT.
I want to stop you, because you miss out an important part. The when you applied for that job, and they advertised for who? Who did they advertise for?
Well, I'm coming up to that, Daphne.
Excuse me.
As I say, I went into the company to be able to look at the notice boards to see the vacancies on the boards. You know, I went in a very, very low level in my job so I could actually see what vacancies were on the board. So I wanted to find out where the IT vacancies were. So there was a vacancy on the board, and they were looking for a trainee network engineer, and they were looking for somebody who had recently left university with a computer degree and had worked for 2 years or more fixing computers. So this was going to be their next stage in their career. They were then going to become a trainee networks engineer. And it was clear that, obviously, they were looking for somebody who just left university, 2 years experience. So ideally, it was going to be somebody 24, 25. And guess what? It's going to be a guy. Because it's guys who do this sort of stuff, you know. So here I am, Daphne, reading the advert. And I'm saying, well, hold on, I haven't been to university to do computing. I haven't worked anywhere fixing computers. All I've done is fix computers in my own house for me. And I'm certainly not a guy. And I'm certainly not in my 20s. I'm 42. And I thought, you know, there's not one thing I've got going for me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The worst thing that they can say is no. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to go for it. Because I began thinking, you know, this is an opportunity that I don't want to miss. And at least I'll be able to say to myself, well, I went for it. I didn't get it, but I went for it. Anyway, of course, at the end of the day, there were 8 guys all in the necessary requirements they had. And I was the 9th person who didn't have any of the requirements, but it was me who got the job.
That's right. Your desire, that job was carved for you. And I just wanted to make sure that we didn't miss that in the conversation.
Oh, no, I know, I know.
Too often people remove themselves out of fear. Nothing,
yes.
Absolutely nothing on that posting had fit you, but you had a burning desire.
That's right.
And that catapult.
The only thing matched was the word IT.
And that was enough for you.
Yes.
To get in there.
But you know, Daphne, when I saw that job and I thought, yes, Jan, just go for it. And do you know, I started visualizing that, yes, I had already got the job. You know, I started seeing this before I even got my letter to go for an interview. But I got the letter to go for interview, and that was surprising enough, you know.
Yeah.
And but the thing was, and then when I went in for the actual interview, I went in just knowing that I had got this job.
That's
and
right.
The interview was only a formality. It was only there so that people could know a bit more about me. But as far as I'm concerned, I already had the job.
Had the job. My God. I want you to just repeat that last statement. The interview was a formality because you went there knowing you had the job. Somebody
That's right.
Listening to this episode live or someone who's going to be listening it through the archive, you need to hear this statement. It needs to ring inside of you.
That's
whatever
right.
It is
that's
that
right.
You are going for, you need to know that that is done. When you step through that door in the presence of those people, it is only a formality because it is done.
It is. It is.
And what an amazing story. What an amazing testimony, Jan. You know?
But, you know, at that time, you know, I found it very hard. Although I had already decided in my own mind that I had got the job. And but when they sent me the letter through saying that I had indeed got the job, I read it and I read it and I read it. And it must have taken me 30 times to read this just so that it really sank in. So that I thought, right, this is actually real.
But all
and then, of course, I had to then tell my husband I'd got the job.
what did he say?
Oh, do you know what he said? You know what? My husband isn't the most complimentary of people. You know, no. What I mean is, he said, "That's good, Jan."
Very enthusiastic. Oh my heaven! He was so excited, huh? It's a good thing Jan was waiting for him to fuel you to go into that job.
That's right.
No. It's amazing. And, you know, that is something very powerful that you just mentioned about your husband. I know you have a great marriage and he's a loving husband and everything. But people need to know, a lot of times, people who are close to us are not always going to be supportive and positive in the beginning.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, this is why some... But this is the thing, that sometimes if you have a really big dream, sometimes you have to keep it quiet.
That's right. That's right. Because the
because
people
you,
who love us, they don't want us to get hurt. They don't have anybody.
That's right.
They just want to protect you. So don't tell them until everything is up and running.
That's right. I mean, when I was going for this job, I didn't tell my husband that I was going for the job. Because I didn't want, you know, anything to get in my way, because I knew
right.
exactly what I wanted. And I didn't want, in fact, I didn't tell anybody, because
that's
I
right.
didn't want anybody to say, Jan, what on earth are you doing? How do you expect to get that job?
That's right. Oh, what does the paper say? Don't you see what they say? You're not just leave college, you're not this, you're not that. So therefore, you
yes.
save them the agony. Because they don't
that's right.
be upset. You go about it and do it yourself. And, you know, but I tell you, now your husband is one of your strongest advocates. And he sees
oh, yes.
growth and everything. So they, believe me, listeners, they will come around. Just in the beginning, just leave them out of the mix. It's just,
I mean, my husband is so supportive, you know, and he does back me up in everything I do. It's just that, you know, sometimes he's not an emotional person. He doesn't like to show too much, you know.
Yeah, like most men.
Most men are
like that. But, you know, when you're ready to go to the big events, he's going to be there and he's smiling about what you're doing. And he's saying, my wife just became a published author. You know, my wife is speaking at that place. And he's sitting in the back of the room and he said, oh, that's my wife. And he's proud. So he's not telling you, but he's telling it to everybody else. So
That's right.
And I remember you telling me that when you went in that job, there were a lot of the clients you had. They were so welcoming of you because they were not accustomed to have a woman service them. And there you came and you were nurturing to them. And they just saw you in a whole different light. So even then, you were doing what you are doing now just through the IT label.
Yes, this is interesting, Daphne, because, yes, I was going out to people who needed their computers fixed or they needed to connect to the network. And because it was a very large call center, most of the people, most of the staff were ladies. So they were suddenly had the opportunity of me going out to see them to fix their problems. So they could relate to me. And also, I could relate to them because I could remember the day when I didn't know even how to turn on a computer.
Mm.
So I could see both sides of the fence. Whereas I think a lot of the guys who had been in IT, they only saw it as a technical job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't see that they were people who used the computers.
Computer.
And that
yes.
is who...
Yes.
That is who you're helping. It's the
That's
people.
Right. That's right.
But you have to, okay, you've got to fix their machines, but the mm-hmm. job is not about machines. The
it's
job
about
is about people.
Very
That's
good.
Right.
Very
That's
powerful.
Right.
And that's what a lot of us in business, especially entrepreneurs, we tend to forget. Yes, people need to pay us for the service, but before we stretch our hands to collect, how are we servicing them? Are we
That's
letting
right.
them feel important? Are they seeing that you're adding value to them? Because if they see that you are indeed adding value to what they're doing, they're going to hand you the money before you even ask. And a lot of times it is more than you would have asked for. So we need to understand that people don't want to be come to the realization that you are selling them anything. But once
yep,
you
yep.
add value to them, they will buy without you selling. And that's important.
But I tell you, Daphne, in that job, I enjoyed it so much because I had this wonderful opportunity of learning all these new things because I'm one of these people, I've got to be learning all the time. You know, and I'm so curious about things. And, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we're on the earth to learn as much as we possibly can.
Oh.
So this was giving me such, you know, I mean, obviously technology, it changes all the time. So there was continually, I was learning and I was continually having to learn just how to do the job itself. But I also, not so that I got tremendous job satisfaction from that, but I also got the tremendous job satisfaction from knowing that I was helping somebody else. And it was wonderful because I could be walking along the corridor through the offices and whatnot, and either people knew me or their friends knew me. So
yes,
I was, you
yes,
know, I was
yes.
a well-known face in the company, mm-hmm. and I really felt good about that, you know, because
right.
I like people, you know, thinking, oh, Jan, she's the helper, you know, and
yes.
I like that.
Yes, and they weren't thinking, oh, the technician is coming. They are thinking Jan is coming because Jan
yes.
treats them like a person while
yes.
other people are coming to fix their computer. And people don't understand. When people will always remember how you make them feel. Always.
Yes, yes.
That never leaves them. So let us.
But it's funny though, you know, you're talking about the stereotypes and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and Pepper was talking about this too.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I went out to it was actually the call center floor where obviously they've got a lot of computers, they've got a lot of telephones,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that one of the phone sockets needed repaired. So
mm-hmm.
I had, although I was wearing a skirt suit, that didn't matter. I still go down on my knees
mm-hmm.
with my screwdriver. You know, and I fix it. And the guy at the desk was saying, I'm sorry, but don't you think we need an engineer to do that?
My God.
And I just turned to him and I said, I am the engineer. And he had
That's right.
He just hadn't, he didn't know what to say. He was lost
exactly.
for words.
He just saw you as a girl. It's a girl in a suit. She can
yes.
and she can't be an engineer. Oh, well, hello.
But, you know, one of the most satisfying parts of that job was when I fixed the computer or telephone for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
you know, they don't like that. They don't like, you know, a female comes along and fixes their stuff.
And it works so
well.
They don't
know
that. Well, hello. This is the real world. Wake up. You know, wake up.
So, of course, that was a major bonus every time that opportunity came about.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's such a rewarding feeling. Well, let us fast forward to where you are now. You graduated out of that, and the jobs you did then has helped to so effectively mold you for the new woman that Jan Mullock has evolved into. You have energy and everything. Tell me about what's happening now.
I mean, I think this is the thing. I mean, for instance, I mean, obviously, because I was in IT, I had proven, you know, to the company that, yes, I could do the job. And then I started thinking, do you know, I'm sure there's so many other people out there who could do what they really want to do in life, but they think that they can't. And I just want to fill people full of, you know, confidence, self-esteem, that they can, you know, pull up their bootstraps and just go out and do it, you know. So it was back in April 2008, and I decided, you know, this, I genuinely feel this is my calling in life. You know, I shouldn't be fixing computers anymore. I should really be going out and getting that message across to people that they should be making as much of their lives as they possibly can.
And out of it came the company Positive Achievers, which led into a
Well, the company itself is actually Power Positive now, and so I, do you know, I was working with a company called Scottish Power at the time, so that was the power bit, you know, and then I was just all this positive thing, and do you know, it was like again like a revelation that the name just came to me, and I thought, yes, Power Positive, and now signifies. Don't wait any longer. Do it now.
Action.
Exactly.
Procrastination. Action. Because a lot of you know, Jan, how many people God have deposited so much into their spirit, and they're sitting down waiting for the end result. And I said, He's not giving you any more until you take action on what He
has
said. So get up.
I mean, unfortunately,
that's
I think there are some people who think that they can just sit and they just have to wait and it'll all just come to them. Well, it just doesn't happen that way.
I said, God already give you the idea. Step out. Let Him see that
that's
you
right.
Do something with what He gives you. Then He's going to reveal the rest to you, you know?
That's right.
So let's talk about the Positive Achiever.
Okay, this is the book.
Yes.
Right, okay. When I started out, what I decided to, you know, I was trying to think of a nickname for myself, so I decided to call myself the Positive Achiever. And then, do you know, I thought, right, I'm going to write a book.
That's
and
right.
I thought, there, that's the title, that's it. You know, can't go wrong with that one.
That's right.
And I just felt I had to get the message out because my book, in my mind, it was all about inspiring people to get up and grab what they can and just do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I know that there have been a lot of people who have read my book. And in fact, I'll tell you, there was a girl, and I hope she's maybe even listening in at the moment, but she was saying that, Jan, I bought your book, and I went into the bath, and I stayed in the bath until I'd finished reading your book.
My God. Ooh, I hope she calls it. Girlfriend, call in 646-915-8166 and share that experience with us. What an amazing testimonial.
But, you know, we know that so much is to do with, you know, how much God plays in our life and how much He can help us. And, you know, we just have to appreciate and be grateful for what we have. And, you know, the more we give, the more we're going to get back.
Oh, isn't that the God's truth? Isn't that the truth? And I know it sounds like a cliche, and people who are not believers do not understand this. But I tell you something. You know, I've had experiences when I have like $4 in my name, and I split the $4 and I give $2 to somebody or to some cause or something. And next thing I know, somebody put $200 in my hand. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I should have given all $4. You know, but God rewards us. And we are not here preaching to anybody. But just so you listen, don't look on your circumstances. Get connected to the source that will erase the negative circumstances and issues that is going on in your life. Because God is faithful. He is faithful. So Jan, other than that lady who took a bath and sat in the bath with the book, what are some of the feedbacks that you have gotten?
Oh, well, you know, because, you know, I do mention, and I didn't know whether to do this or not. I didn't know whether to mention God in the book, because I thought, you know, some people might not buy the book. And then I thought, you know, that's silly, Jan, because you have to project your own values. You've got to let people know what you believe in, you know.
What you stand for. That's what
exactly.
Isn't that something that you and Pepper are on? Pepper was on before talking about being proud of who you are.
Oh,
and
yes.
And you're coming
on
now talking about your relationship with God.
Because this is it. Because I was starting to think, hold on, if I didn't have my belief, my faith, hope, and everything else, there's no way I would be where I am now writing this book. So
right.
I must acknowledge that.
That's right.
I must be grateful for that.
You cannot hide it. You have to go on top of the Eiffel Tower and shout it out. Because guess what? Those who already believe in what you're sharing, they will have a rewarding, enhanced life. And those
That's
who are
right.
not yet believers will say, if she is in Scotland saying that, and last week I was downtown, I heard somebody saying that. And I remember when I was a child, my grandmother said that there must be something to this. Let me try it. So you don't want to deprive. You don't want to deprive anyone, Jan, about seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Because there are a lot of people who are stuck in the middle of the tunnel. They do not want to turn around and go back to where they just entered from. And yet they are so fearful to pursue to the exit of the tunnel. So they are standing right there in the middle in the pitch dark. And they are thinking, what do I do now? And this book is telling them, you can take one step at a time. And if you continue, you are going to see the ray of light soon.
That's right. But, you know, it's funny how sometimes you do judge people. I mean, it's just like Pepper was saying about the which gentleman would have been on Concord. And she didn't expect it would have been the other guy. But it's just
table.
Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, I had somebody who... Now, I go to meetings with her, and she said, oh, Jan, I must get your book, you know. And I thought, you know, I thought to myself, you know, she's not religious at all. She's not going to like this book. You know, I just know it, you know. But I tell you,
don't you,
you know, it's terrible
woman.
Because you start judging. You just shouldn't judge, should you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she bought the book, and she came, and the next time I saw her, she said, you know, Jan, I was up at 5 o'clock this morning making sure I finished your book before I saw you, and it was just the most wonderful book.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
that's
wow, this is fantastic.
Because, you know, Jan, it's not for you to judge them. You
no,
have
exactly.
a message. You have a message to deliver. Your job and your duty is to deliver the message. And then God is going to give you the next message. Don't worry about who is going to receive the message so long as you do your part of delivering
That's
it.
That's right.
That's all yes. the job you have to do. Deliver what you have to be delivered. Because too much time we try to dissect. Oh, I don't want to put this out there. I don't want this person to hear that. I don't. Please, the message is not yours. You are only a vessel. You are a conduit through which this is going out.
And yes, yes.
God already know all the people who needed that book.
Yeah, so and you know,
don't dilute it. You just put it there.
That's right. And you know, often you have to say to yourself, "Don't worry what other people think. I know what I'm doing is right,
mm-hmm.
so I'm just going to go and do it." You
That's
know,
right.
I think this is another obstacle for a lot of people. You know, they start getting totally immersed in what they reckon other people might say, and they don't progress because of that.
Oh, yeah, because this person, oh, please, Jan, why you want to do that? Ain't no other woman in Scotland ever write a religious book. Oh, please. Oh, no, nobody going to want it. And they're going to tell you, they are pulling data to tell you why it's not going to work. Oh, please. It's not about them. It's not about them. Because your higher source already told you, my child, before you were born, I know there was a book to be written, The Positive Achiever, and I know
yes.
you were going to be the author. Now is the time to step out and you deliver
yes.
that. There are many lives that is waiting on that book.
Yes.
So,
and I know now that, I mean, I can be out there speaking to people, I can be doing workshops, retreats, whatever, to get that message out, because I want to actually meet the people that I'm going to be able to change lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to, and not only be able to change their lives, but be able to keep up with them to know exactly how their life is turning out
mm-hmm.
and how it, I have managed to help change their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it is amazing how God works, you know. I don't know why I feel led to share this. I don't know whether you saw it on your computer. Yesterday when I turned the computer on, there was this news about a woman, I think she's 70-something, that was coming back from shopping, and she was partially mugged. By the time she
right.
opened her car and went in, a man came in on the other side and said, "I have a gun and I'm going to shoot you if you don't give me all your money." And the old woman looked at him three times and she said, "No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not." And she said, "Jesus is with me right in this car now. He goes everywhere I go and he protects me. If you shoot me, I am going to go to heaven and you are going to go to hell." And then she talked to him, and then she repeated some scripture. And she looked at his face as she ministers to him, and tears start running down his face. And he reached over and kissed her on the cheek and said, "I guess I have to go home and pray for forgiveness tonight." And the
yes,
woman
yes.
voluntarily gave him the money she had, which was $10. And she handed
uh-huh,
it to
uh-huh.
him and said, "Don't you go and spend it on whiskey."
Yes,
and
yes.
And isn't that... I share that because God is so amazing and always does something in our lives that can impact other people's lives. We never know the moment. We just need to be obedient to his call. Jan, do
I'm
you
so
have
pleased
your...
That,
would you like
I'm
to,
just saying I'm so pleased that you've shared that because, do you know, so much of the news is so depressing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can get some inspiration across, it's absolutely wonderful.
Yes, it's amazing. Would you like to choose a section of your book to read to the listeners?
Now, let me see. I could certainly choose bits. what do you think would be good? Have you actually read it?
I have not finished because you know what? I must be honest. My printer went kaput and I have not replaced it. And I'm a visual person, so I read and I highlight. So I've scanned through it. I have not read it in depth, but just open the book and wherever you open, that's what you read. That's what they need to hear. But I'm going to...
Okay, right, okay. Now, as I say, this is an inspirational book. So it's, you know, you just want to be inspired. Okay, so I talk about you must give of yourself in order to receive. Demonstrate faith in yourself that you will succeed. Demonstrate faith in a higher power than yourself. God wants you to be successful. After all, He is your Father in heaven, and He wants all of His children to be successful. Ask for His help to accomplish what you want in your life, as God is always listening. And I go on, you know, to talk about faith and whatnot.
Go ahead,
and
read it. You went stop. You can read another.
Oh, do you want me to keep going? Okay.
You can read another 6 or 7 minutes.
Okay. If you show faith and give of yourself in respect of your time and talents, then you will receive what you desire in life. You will have shown yourself worthy to have earned success through your own talents and hard work. You deserve to be successful. Now, is it easy to achieve what you desire in life? It all depends on how you look at it. Take the analogy of following a diet. Is it easy? Well, it is easy in the fact that you have certain rules to follow. You know that you can eat particular foods, and you know that there are certain foods that are not allowed. So it is easy to follow because the rules are there. You just have to obey them and you will lose weight. The hard part, of course, is being able to obey the rules. This really goes for anything you want to achieve. Once you decide on your goals and write down the details of what you need to do, you have written your own instruction manual. Start at the beginning and work your way through to the end. Simple. But you are a human being and not a machine. People have been given the wonderful gift of choice, and the choice means that you can decide whether you wish to complete the instructions or not. Choosing to go through each step in your manual will ensure success. Are you willing to work at it and achieve the success you deserve? I enjoy following rules. The reason I say this is because it makes life so much simpler. By obeying the rules, you know what you should and what you should not do. People make their lives unnecessarily complicated by doing what they feel is right without respect for others or adhering to good old-fashioned values. We are living in a society where pretty much anything goes, and it becomes more and more difficult to identify which path to follow. Like a child, we need some sort of guidance along with a set of values to live by, or we will flounder without being able to identify the correct path. To set goals, you must be able to base these on your values and on your beliefs. I encourage you to think of what values are important to you. Write down your values: honesty, reliability, discipline, helping others, generosity, or whatever, and ensure that you can align your goals to your values. It is important to realize that you will not succeed if your goals contradict your own principles.
Wow.
Nowadays, there is do you want me to keep going?
You can stop now.
Or can we stop there?
As you read, I know why the Holy Spirit told me to have you read it, because I've never done this on the show to have an author read anything. But you know what?
Oh, wonderful.
The Holy Spirit wants you to read your book to create an audio from it. The Holy Spirit does not want you to get a voice over a person to do it. The Holy Spirit wants you to do that.
Okay.
So write that down.
I'll do that.
and follow through so that you will have the book in audio with your voice.
Yes.
And if the Holy Spirit tells me anything else before we get off the show, I will tell you. So, it's amazing how God works. It's amazing, amazing. We have 21 minutes remaining in this this segment. I want you to right now, while you catch your breath after reading, I want you to just tell the listeners how to reach you. Your contact information, please.
Okay. Yes. Well, my main website is www.powerpositivenow.com. And certainly, if you'd like to join me on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, if you just go to these sites, and my username is just Jan Malik, I'd love you to join me on these various social networking sites, because I feel that, you know, this is another reason why you and I, Daphne, are here at this very time, is because we can use social networking
to go out and reach
these people. Yes. Yes.
Would you repeat would you repeat your information? I think my producer just came on. She lives in another state, and I guess she had so she just came on.
Right.
So I want to repeat so she can type it in. Your website.
Okay. So my website is www.powerpositivenow.com. And
power
that
positive.
Will really powerpositivenow.com. Yes.
Okay. All right. And
if anybody likes to go onto that site, they'll see a link to my other sort of articles, my book and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling the listeners, I am praying for an opportunity where John and I can be working together and just let God move.
Yes, because and this is so exciting, isn't it? Because you just don't know what's around the corner.
Never know what's around the corner. And I am just so thankful. I want to be obedient to God's calling. And I know we only have 19 minutes remaining. And I want somebody to call in, please. It's 646-915-8166. And we are now on all the way from Scotland. We are on with Jan Malik. So, and she's just an amazing, phenomenal woman. I am so blessed to call her friend and to call her colleague, because I know that God has not brought us together by accident. This is a divine connection of relationship. We have 18 minutes remaining. Jan, I want to give you 14, and then I will take 4 for our closing remarks. And I would love to speak with you on Skype to discuss something that we don't need to discuss on air. So,
wonderful. Yes, I'd certainly like to do that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But how would you like to summarize our conversation? What do you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, actually, before we do that, Daphne, can I just say, you know how we were talking about me being in IT?
Yes.
And we were saying, yes, I really had to go into doing the speaking and writing and all the rest of it. But do you know, sometimes when you're in the corporate world, do you know, other things get in the way, like this interest in money, you know, and money takes over rather than you helping other people. And, you know, when I was in IT, that was what was happening, because, you know, as you were saying, it's a man's world. And, you know, if you suddenly discover that men are earning more than you are, you're suddenly, you become very, very frustrated and think, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to earn as much as I can. And you forgo the reasons why you first of all went into it. And that was to help people.
That's
right. And when you're not living your values anymore, that's when to give it up.
Exactly.
So if there's
because
anybody
then you don't
out
need
there.
To compromise.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you know, if there's anybody out there who's in a job that they feel that, you know, I'm not really keeping up my high standards. I'm really not doing what I'm really wanting to do in life. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that I'm really helping people or getting what I really want. Then, you know, really just sit down one quiet time and really start thinking what you want. Mm-hmm. If you are spiritual, religious, please, you know, pray and ask what you should be doing in your life to help
mm-hmm.
other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jan, I am so thankful that you said that about quiet time, because get your journal and your pen and go sit somewhere quiet and listen to your heart. Because all the things that God wants us to do is right there in our heart, and they are revealed to us in the stillness of things. Because we are so always hustling and bustling and rushing.
Do you know, those are the very words I was going to use. It's all this hustle and bustle nowadays, and people are always looking at the clock, and they've got to be doing this at this time and that at that time. And nobody's sitting down and saying, and you know, even when they do sit down, they've got a TV on. Don't do that.
That's right.
You know,
that's
just
right.
Sit in the quiet.
Turn everything off. You know.
Yes, yes.
Who like that lady did? She went in the bathtub with the book. Go in the bathtub, not with the book, but light a candle and put your favorite bath salts or something in, and just put a pillow under your head. Sit there with your journal and your pen outside and close your eyes. You'd be surprised to know all the things that you receive in that quiet.
And you know, the wonderful thing about, you know, when you let your mind just sort of wander and you let your imagination start to really explore, you know, it's amazing the different places that you can go to in your own head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are no barriers, no nothing. You can literally go wherever you want your mind.
Yes, because God is there willing to lead you. Are you willing to just allow him to do that?
That's
because
right.
All, you know, we all have such great powers. And the fear is what is crippling us from taking action. You know, even if you don't have the support of the people who you thought would be jumping hooray, no, it doesn't matter. You have the support of God who deposits inside of you, and he's not going to let you fall. He's not. He's going to be supporting you all the way.
Yes, and I tell you another thing. Don't ever ignore any promptings that you get.
Right.
Never. Because
that's right.
Often they are such wonderful opportunities that you've got. And I think I mentioned this to you, Daphne, that, you know, going on to places like Facebook or whatever, and I just feel I know certain people already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I've got to connect with these people.
And
you know,
that's what
I mean, my own.
The same thing with me. I go on LinkedIn and Facebook and everything. I do not read people's profile to choose them as friends.
I look in
their face and I linger a bit, and the spirit will say yes or no. And that's how.
That's right.
After the spirit says yes, then I read their profile.
That's right. Because, as you know, because if you were to read their profile first, you'd be saying, oh, no, that person wouldn't be interested in me.
That's right.
And, of course, that's the very person that probably will be interested
that's
in you.
Right.
So
that's right.
Forget about the judgment. You know, just
and
do your own intuition.
That's right.
Please.
Oh, it's such an amazing conversation. And I hope that you'll come back to the show, Jan.
Of course.
I hope you will come back. Now we have 2 minutes. You have 8 and I have 4 to close out with. So how would you like to close out today?
Well, I mean, I would love people to buy my book, obviously. And if you don't buy it, borrow it.
because we want them to buy it because they need to read and highlight and read. So borrow is not going to do it. They need to buy it.
But the thing is, yes,
so
yes, that's right, buy it.
Tell them where to find it.
But yes, it's on Amazon Yes, it's definitely on Amazon, so there's no problem there. You can get it easily enough. And I would love you to buy it because I really believe, I just know that it will be an inspiration to you and that you will actually change your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was up until about the age of 35, I just sort of wandered through life. I wasn't really doing anything, you know.
You are being
and
more
then
mature now.
Yeah, I just suddenly hit me. You know, Jan, get on and do something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's what I've been doing. And now it's my responsibility to go out and help others to do that.
Right, so they don't have to wander and be molded as long as you did. You know, because
we all
have our own seasons. But the important thing
is
that we take action in those seasons.
Yes, yes. And,
no?
As you say, certainly what I've been doing previous does mold you for what you are now.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
And for heaven's sake, don't allow any sort of, don't be looking back and regretting anything in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That was all a learning experience. You needed to do that. That had to happen. Never, ever look back and feel sorry for yourself or anything. Just look at what you're doing now and what you can be doing to make your future great.
Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling a little shaky or wobbly, if you think it is not solid on the ground, that's what Jan and I are here for, and the other thousands of people out there who are looking to add value. We are only a telephone call or an email or a blog comment away from you. We want to hear from you. We want to add value to what you're doing. So you're not alone. You're never alone. So reach out to people who want to help you and to embrace what you're doing and support you. And you can always learn from people, because if I have done something and I noticed the pitfalls that were there, I can share that with you so you don't have to make the same pitfalls and you can move on. And I'm sure I can say the same thing for Jan, that she's
there to help.
Oh,
certainly, certainly.
So again, Jan, give out your contact information again.
Okay, so the website is www.powerpositivenow.com. And as I say, please join me on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I've got various articles through the on the web as well. So, you know, I'm really just trying to get my message out to people, so it would be just great if you could just befriend me, and let's see what we can do together to really get you, you know, ahead in your life.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You have a closing thought, Jan?
My closing thought is that please believe in yourself. You can do what you want to do, because God has actually put you on the earth. He's given you all the resources that you that you need to be successful. You have a mission in life. Everybody is going to be able to make a major impact on others in their lives, but sometimes it's a case of you just have to sit back, relax, and listen to the still small voice to find out what you should be doing, and always believe in yourself, because that is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is I love everybody, and, you know, and anything you learn during the day, pass it on to others.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we all need to believe in ourselves, and we also need to love ourselves, because there are too many people out there who are looking to others for love. But when you start loving yourself and believing in yourself and elevating yourself, you're going to find out that the world around you has no other choice than to embrace the things that you have already done to you.
Yep, yep.
So,
I mean, I think, Daphne, actually one of the reasons why it was the age of 35 that things changed totally for me, and that was because that was when I discovered that I am a daughter of God.
Yes.
And I am here for a reason.
Yes, yes. We were all created for a purpose. And when we realize that, we realize there's no competition, because you are so uniquely created and so am I. So there's no competition, there's no headbutting. All we can do is embrace each other and collaborate so that we can all accomplish what our vision and mission is in this world. Because with technology now, we can do anything. Look at John in Scotland, and I'm in New Milford, Connecticut, USA, and it's as if we are sitting next to each other.
That's right.
it's just amazing, you know? Where there is a will, there is a way. John, I want to thank you for coming on this morning and to really add value to the A New Day show and to deposit in my listeners and I a wealth of information. I want to thank you for that. We have 5 minutes remaining, and I know sometimes people wait for the last minute to call in. Oh, I have a question for Jan. So if you can still hold on with us before...
Okay.
We come to the end, just in case somebody calls on, I would appreciate that. In the meantime, I want to remind the listeners that on the 25th, our guest will be Muriel Moten, and Muriel will be speaking about understanding your values. And on the 28th, which is a special episode, segment, rather, I am having the Mighty Jing Su out of Jamaica, West Indies, and the Mighty Jing Su have to be my nephew. So I'm a proud auntie because my nephew just released his first single reggae, and I want for you to call in for that. On the 2nd of August, we'll be having... Dr. Ray Blanchard, and he is the author of The Answer. And also we're having Mr. Jeff Mills, and Jeff is coming on. He's going to be doing a seminar on the radio show, enlightening and educating us about the secret in outsourcing. Because, you got to hear that. I joined one of his webinars, and I said, oh, no, I got to have him on to talk to us entrepreneurs because we all need to do that. And on the 11th of December, it is my happy birthday, and I want to do a virtual birthday party. So I'm inviting all the listeners to come on that day and just have a good time with me celebrating life and the things God has done for me. Again, I want to also remind you to go to my website, www.clarkhudson.com, and pick up a copy of my book, Conversations on Success. The Christmas is coming up. We want to make gifts. You can make them as nice gifts to anybody so that people can start changing their lives. And again, I am so thankful to Jen Mollock and Pepper Miller for coming on and adding value to the A New Day show. You are listening to the Queen of the Empowered Soul, who tells you, never settle for mediocrity because you have the ability to create excellence. Stay blessed and follow your destiny. And Jan, thank you. We will be speaking later on.
Thank you so much, Daphne. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a blessed day, and keep doing God's work.
What's the plan that you have for me? What's the price that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?